Hello, everyone. Hello, folks.
There.
I heard one lone voice. Can you hear me?
Jeffo in St. Louis, what's up, bud?
Hi, Jeff.
Yeah.
And no, I'm sorry, I cannot scribe today, ever. I'm so sorry. I swear I'd sweep the floors after hours, though.
Should figure out a way to turn sweeping the floors into scribing. That would be a trick.
I'm on fire during these things. I'm a bystander listener, and things just happen to me. Like, it's crazy. I thought about it, but it would be dangerous and inappropriate.
All right. Well, I got to respect your judgment. I'm not there in your shoes.
Right. As Clint Eastwood said, a man's got to know his limitations, and I don't think I would do you right, unfortunately.
I can appreciate that.
But I do want to pay for all the call time I've been using if it racks up. I feel there's an incumbency somewhere.
Oh, you mean could I just invoice you for my consulting? Is that what you mean? You to pay that rate?
At least for that, using the dial-up. Yeah, at least that part.
I think it'll be fine. Okay, let's give folks another minute and then we'll dive in. We are going to need a scribe, so if you're open to that, we will be going through that process shortly. That's funny, Manny. Okay, so it's 9:03. I'm going to go ahead and start in. You know, we normally have a little bit of boilerplate at the beginning. So our agenda today is pretty straightforward. We have, in addition to our normal rigmarole and going over current work items, we are going to briefly talk about a proposed work item, VC examples, and then we are going to review the current thoughts about an updated election process. So the old charter that this group runs by is a bit out of date, and the chairs have been working on bringing it up to date, which includes some innovations about how we can ensure a little better continuity moving forward. So I want to socialize some of those ideas, get people's feedback, and that will be the bulk of the call today is getting feedback on that process. So IP notes, this call is open to the public. Anyone can participate. However, we would prefer that you join the community group. It's free. It's simple. And when you sign up, you will agree to the community contributor license agreement, which takes care of a whole bunch of intellectual property issues that can happen if people just get together and start talking about technology. So sort of the whole point of having organizations like W3C in the first place. So please join. If you aren't, then we may need to curtail what are known as substantive contributions. But again, the meeting is open to the public. We keep call notes via IRC. In our agenda, we have a bunch of tips about how to participate there. Please do type present plus to let us know you're there, and you can use Q plus to join the queue, which is how we'll make sure that folks get a chance to be heard, even though 5 million people want to talk at the same time. With that, we do have a scribe as part of our process. I'm looking at the chat. I'm not seeing anyone. I see a half volunteer from Juan. So being a scribe is relatively straightforward. You just type as best you can into the IRC directly who said what. And because it's happening in real time, people have an opportunity to correct any errors made. And that becomes our official minutes along with the recording of this call. So it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty easy, but it's vital to how we sort of keep track of what our conversations were. So would anyone like to volunteer? Juan, how soft is that volunteering? Do you want me to go through the list? Juan, my connection is a little wonky. Juan. Well, I think poor Juan did not like, so I guess his connection really is unstable. Yeah, I think you're right, Manny Honori. Okay, so let's go through the scribe list. We'll see if we can't find someone using that mechanism. Where we try and keep track of who has scribed, and in reverse order we'll go through and try and get folks who haven't scribed in a while to volunteer. So Jeff, we already spoke to Moses Ma. Are you on the call? I'm not seeing him. Carl DeClemente, not seeing Carl. Troy Ronda, Gabe Cohen, Samita Jonak. About Ted Thibodeau, Tall Ted, Ken Eberts, Heather Vessence, Amy Guy. Really? Has it been that long since Amy's scribed for us? Yes, you do. You scribe a lot. So, Drummond, are you on the call? Marcus, not seeing his handle. Dave Longley, seeing his handle, but I think Dave is not here. In fact, Bill Barnhill, Ganesh, Adrian Gropper. We're getting deep into this list. We've got Carl in here twice, so I'm actually going to remove the early one. That makes me think we didn't maintain it well. Johnny Crunch?
I can do it for half the time.
For half the time. Okay. Let me take you up on that. Next up would be Manny or Justin. Justin, are you on the call? Could you swap in halfway through for Johnny?
Unfortunately, no. I have a another meeting that I am running at the top of the hour, so I'm sort of backgrounding, spinning up on that. Sorry.
Understood. Ori, you're next. Could you pinch hit with Jonathan? Oh, okay. We simultaneously got both Amy and okay, so we'll go with Ori. So the two of you will get credit. I appreciate you sharing the load. Now this is not intended to be a particularly burdensome task, so we appreciate your willingness to help out. Just updating the record to give you both credit for that. Okay. Next up, then, introductions and reintroductions. Do we have anyone who's new on the call who has not been with us before? Just add yourself to the queue or just speak up. Okay, I'm not noticing any handles that jump out at me. But I don't happen to know who Java Servlets is. Nico SFC, new handle. Who's Nico? Are you a new contributor? All right, well, we're having some fun in IRC at the expense of poor Java. You know, it did eventually grow up to become JavaScript, so that was okay. Okay, how about a reintroduction? In fact, given that he can't scribe, but he certainly is able to type quite a bit, Manny, why don't you reintroduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Manu Sporny. I work at a company called Digital Bazaar. I'm also a specification editor for the verifiable credential spec and the decentralized identifier spec and a couple of other specs that have been incubated in this group. Thrilled to be here. Excited to hear about the new work item in the new election process.
Cool. Thank you, Manny. Okay. For anyone who may have been shy about introducing themselves new, this will be your last chance. We're going to go ahead and move on. But we'd still like to get that intro if you want to chime in. Okay. Next up then is announcements. Most of the world's on hold, folks. the current upcoming things that we know of is that No Identity in Vegas, which is supposed to be in a week or so, is postponed. The Internet Identity Workshop has gone virtual, so that's still going to be on. And it's actually, I'm kind of interested to see this new approach to open spaces that they have been exploring. So I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see. Did I see Kalia? Kalia, are you on? Can you talk anything about that?
Sure. We're going to use a platform called Kiko Chat that's been specifically designed to support open space virtually. And we're planning to, Heidi and I are meeting almost every day to figure out exactly how it's all going to work. We're going to have demo hour probably twice so that people in different time zones can join once in the morning in Pacific time and once in the afternoon. It's going to be fun. Come if you've never come to IAW because... Yeah, it's
going to
be great.
Cool. Well, I'm excited about it. I think the whole world is being forced to invest in work from home and virtualization technologies, and IAW has done a great job at providing a workshop that's done things differently compared to how most conferences run. So I'm excited to see what comes of that.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And then the other item I know of, Identiverse, last we checked, that is scheduled for June, and I haven't seen any announcements about it. So hopefully we might be closer to a normal by June. What that new normal is this summer, who knows what it's going to be. But that's what I know about for announcements. Does anyone else have something they'd like to share with the group? Feel free to hop on the queue. Don't mind giving members of the community an opportunity to announce things.
Sure. How about this? Is Jonathan? I have something. So I'm taking a new role as the CMIO, the Chief Medical Informatics Officer for Consensus Health. We just launched this month, and we are actually sponsoring a hackathon. More details to follow. It's going to be announced this afternoon. We're still working on the details. It's going to be virtual in partnership with some academic medical centers and some big sponsors. More to follow.
Okay. Very cool.
Specifically around the response to COVID-19, and data is the medicine we need.
Nice. Okay, let me give you a chance to get some of that into the notes since we didn't queue up your Alter Scribe. That sounds very interesting. While Johnny's typing that in, we do also have the recurring meetings of our two active task force right now. One is the verifiable credentials for education, which is on Mondays. Kim leads that call, and that is at 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific. And we also have the DID resolution calls on Thursday, which is 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific, held via Zoom. Let me go ahead and drop the announcement URL. So if you want the details, you can go to that page for those items. I see. Juan, so what's the date on EIC, Juan? I would think that's going to be May 15. Okay, maybe they want to wait it out a little bit. Yeah. I doubt we're going to be getting back to normal by June. Certainly not by May. But, you know, I'm not a pandemicologist. I just play one on Twitter. So, take my read with a grain of salt on all of these things. Okay, so that's announcements and reminders. Let me just check the queue in case I missed someone chiming in who wants to let us know. Johnny, I see you were on the queue. Did you already speak to that? Okay, great. Okay, progress on action items. Copy that URL. Thank you, Minnie. The snark is strong today. Okay, so we have three that I wanted to go over. So we are going to discuss, so the first is item number 111. We're going to talk about that today, so I'm not even going to click the URL. That's the main topic today. Wrap-up transition of use case to what is did working group deliverable. So that's 108. I believe I've satisfied this. So I can probably close it, but I wanted someone who understands the process and or GitHub a little better than I do to confirm that. Is there someone we can assign to make sure I didn't mess this up? Someone who could take a look at it? I think it's right. Manu, I know you're crazy busy. Burn, I know you would understand whether or not that's complete. Anyone else have a sense of both sort of W3C process and how we map that to GitHub? Go ahead, Manu.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it now. This is still a CCG work item, is that right?
Well, it was listed as one. And so the dangling work was to actually move it over. The repo wasn't archived, so I marked that as archived.
Okay. So if we haven't done a final specification, I don't know if we have to do an FSA on it, but we might as well. There's no IPR on it, so in theory,
yeah, it's just a note, and we have published the note.
Okay, then it's just a matter of the chairs noting that it's been transitioned, and the DID working group chairs noting that it's been accepted as input and as a document in the DID working group. I thought we had already done that, but
yeah, we did that at the face-to-face meeting, I believe. Shortly thereafter. Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I believe process-wise, the group has adopted it and moved on, and now it's got its own version of the use case document. So
yeah,
this work here has been adopted and forked and evolved.
Yeah, the only thing that we need to do is just note that, or, you know, note it, redirect people to where the new use cases document is, and then archive the repo. That's it. That should wrap up everything.
So I believe we've done all that. Not quite sure, Manny, what you mean by redirect in that context. Do you mean a URL, or do you mean a dynamic?
Yeah, like there's a landing page, and no, it's done. One second, let me check. Yeah, the only thing that's not done is we haven't updated the spec itself to redirect, so people could still land on the wrong CCG spec, and we haven't updated the description at the top of the page. So if you go, that's the right link. If you go there, the link at the top points to the old spec. It should point to the new spec. And then if you go to the old spec, there should be a meta redirect to the new use cases document in the DID working group. So those two items still remain. Once those two things are done, which should take, 10 minutes tops, we should be good to go. You can unarchive it and then make those changes and then re-archive it.
Okay, so I'm just putting this in the that issue. So one is update the URL at the top of the CCG repo. And what was the other one?
Add a meta redirect to the CCG version of the use cases document to redirect to the DID working group use cases document.
Okay, so update that the repo page so the page has the correct link, and then also in the back end provide a redirect so if someone does click on that W3C CCG link, it goes to the new one as well.
Exactly right. Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will work on that. Okay. So that is. And then the third issue is closing the DCVG or DVCG, Digital Verification Community Group. Mostly, we just still have some repos that are going to be orphaned here. Dimitri, are you on the call?
I am. What's the question?
So we, you got assigned to this at some point.
So I believe we've moved all of the repositories over to the CCG.
Right. Well, so there are two problems I know of, and I don't know if they're, so let me, I'll just add. So, one problem is that many of the URLs in the repos still point to the old one.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So the URL we were just talking about, like at the top of the page where you go to the github.io, I saw that with one of the repos. And then in that issue, Chris had identified five bullet points.
All right, I will go through them.
I don't know if we've done that. Yeah, so let me, I'm just going to add this note about the URLs in the repos. Some of them need fixing. And if you could take a look at that and give us some feedback, help move it forward, we would appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. Thanks.
Okay, great. And I see Ori on the queue. Go ahead, Ori.
Would it be possible for me to be made some kind of admin to help migrate the remaining repos out of the W3C DVCG to the CCG? There's a couple of repos that have tags that are mark as deprecated or archive or moved to the CCG. I can't do anything other than open issues asking for them to be moved right now. And I could, if they were in the CCG, I could fix all of the links and clean everything up, but I can't move them from the DVCG to the CCG.
I see. So it's the DVCG that if we make you an admin of, you can help with.
That's correct. And I will help if I'm an admin of the DVCG.
Awesome. Thank you for that offer. I think we can make that happen. Kim, you seem to be on top of that. Can you click the buttons that add Ori? Okay. So, Kim, if you can't do it, follow up with me and or Manu if we need DB folks, but I think you should be able to do it. I expect that you have those powers. Okay. So those are the issues that we queued up to talk to today. Next up is the proposed work item for VC examples. Ori, I think you proposed this. You want to introduce us to it?
Yes. So I introduced this on the mailing list. There's been some chatter about it for a little while. It was created ages ago. And the intention behind it was to create a repo where we could put real-world examples of verifiable credentials in all of the formats that are possible to create real-world verifiable credentials, such that implementers of verifiable credentials could look at examples that were truly verifiable and contained real data. So, you know, background is basically the verifiable credentials data model specification contains a number of examples which are pretty insufficient for implementers to be able to use. And this repo would allow us to check in world examples that had identities and URLs that resolved and that, you know, were verifiable and basically help people create credentials that are actually going to be interoperable by checking in credentials that work as examples. So I think there's a proposal to have Ganesh be one of the other editors of the repo. And if it could be adopted as a formal work item, it's listed as a formal work item currently, but it doesn't have anybody assigned to it other than me. So it needs one more person. And there's some intention to use this as a base point for a number of other interoperability initiatives. But all of those initiatives are kind of blocked by our inability to see real-world example credentials.
Okay, cool. Ganesh, are you around to confirm your interest in being an editor here? I do recall being on a phone call where he did sign up for that.
He does have an open pull request making himself an editor, which I have approved.
But okay. Okay, great. And I see an IRC. Apparently, he's having some mic issues. Okay. Well, I think that meets our criteria. So, you know, yeah, that's a work item. So we just need to update the work item list. And let's make use of that. Do you have any other questions about moving forward with that?
I do not. I have just merged making him a code owner, and we'll be adding examples from the community as we receive them.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for that. Manu, go ahead.
Ori, just I wanted to highlight a couple of just concerns, not necessarily with anything in particular. So I think the goal is to try and put as many examples as possible in there, which is great. I think there's also talk about maybe doing some kind of test suite around it or some kind of JSON schema testing thing around it. Is that a part of kind of the current conversation, or are we deferring that to later?
So to be determined, but my intention is to provide some testing abilities built into it around other CCG work items that rely on well-formed credentials. So, you know, one of the issues, the first issue that we have is we just don't have real credentials anywhere. And then the second issue that we have is if we did have them somewhere, how would we know if they're real or not? And it's my intention right now is to use this VC examples repo as a place to get confidence around those two things. And then we might want to move test suites out of that repo into a more appropriate location in the future. But for now, it would be really helpful to have everything in one place as we try and test, you know, interop issues.
Adam, go ahead.
That's fine. I don't want to get in your way because it sounds like there's going to be a lot of productivity out of this repo, and it's a good thing to do. I am concerned about smashing all this stuff together. I'm just noting the concern. If you feel that's the best way to go about it right now, go ahead. But in the past, almost inevitably, it requires us to kind of pull it out into a separate repo, and that's more work for whoever's doing the work. So if you're doing the work, I'm just mentioning it as potentially more work for you. And if other people are doing the work, I'm somewhat concerned about it. In any case, it's not an existential, issue. It's just a note of concern.
Okay, thank you, Manny. Okay, any other comments on that work item? We're going to move on to the main topic of today. Okay, so as regular listeners to this podcast will recall, we have mentioned that the chairs are in process on updating our charter. You can look at our current charter there, and you'll see that there are a couple of points in which we're a little bit out of sync, and we have been essentially for as long as I've been chair. So, there haven't been any calls for impeachment or pitchforks or anything like that, but we just want to clean it up, and especially as the CCG has become a focal point for a certain range of ongoing behaviors, such as registry management. We wanted to provide a little bit more sort of clarity around how the CCG might manage itself going forward. So this link to a Google Doc that I'm gonna paste in has basically our current thoughts about how we might update the charter. And in particular, I'm gonna draw folks' attention down to the election process right now. So there are two parts there. I want to discuss them separately. One is electing chairs. I'm going to scroll down so people can just click on my head, I hope, in that Google Doc. So choosing a chair. And hopefully clicking on my head will get you there, but it might not if I have another window open. Google Docs doesn't handle that situation very well. Most of what I'm about to walk through, we've kicked around with the chairs a bit. The tail end of it, I finished out some language, so it's very immature, the last couple of points. In other words, even the chairs don't necessarily have consensus. But we thought before we put a formal charter in front of the group for approval, I wanted to have an opportunity for an open conversation about the principles behind the mechanisms we're proposing here for both choosing a chair and removing a chair. I also want to note it's 9:35. Jonathan, was there a specific time you needed to hand off to Ori? We're about at the halfway point.
Now it'd be good. Thank you.
Okay, I thought that might be the case. Better do it now than in the midst of stuff. Okay, so I think we just do scribe colon Ori and the superpowers activate. Okay, so Ori, you won't need to note my reading of this. I'm just gonna read some of this out loud, especially parts that have changes. So the chair's duties, we haven't changed that, but we have specified that there may be up to three co-chairs, each holding one of three seats, and each seat has a three-year cycle of service. So the idea here is we want to have overlapping sequential elections every year so that we aren't risking a complete turnover and complete shift in leadership. We think the this mechanism for continuity is a common pattern in the nonprofit world. So that's what we're proposing. So seat A, the initial term, is going to be just 1 year. Seat B will be 2 years, and seat three will be 3 years. That's because right now we need to have an election for all three seats. So once we approve this charter, we're going to kick off the election process we're talking about here, and people will be able to sign up for any of these three seats. Most of the chairs are going to continue, and hopefully we can get some new blood in with the third seat there. So as I mentioned, in the first election after ratification, all three of these seats are up for election, and then thereafter each year, a single election will be held to fill any vacant seats. So hopefully this will be a rhythm that, you know, every March or every whenever, there will be an election. In the case there's an interim vacancy because a chair quits or they die or they're impeached and removed, then the remaining chairs may either appoint a co-chair for the open seat, hold an election, or wait until the next election at their discretion. We didn't want to have too much process overhead. If the chairs don't take any action, then the seat will automatically be up for election in the next cycle. And any such interim appointments shall hold the seat until the end of its natural cycle. This next bullet point is a repeat up to three chairs at any time. No limits to how often chairs can be reelected. And in an election year, current chairs will select. So we're trying to give a balance of what needs to happen while giving chairs as much flexibility as possible, presuming good faith actors. And then we have some release valves in case they're having some bad faith actors to get involved. So in an election year, the current chairs are going to select a date for elections. So we might say June 1 is going to be our election. And that will set up, and this is highlighted because not sure if it's the right pattern, but a nomination period of 2 weeks, which will be 4 weeks prior to the election. And I'll explain why I set it up that way. But hopefully 2 weeks is enough for people to learn about the election and to be able to nominate an individual or themselves. In fact, actually, they have to nominate themselves. So the next bullet point is for an individual to run for election, they nominate themselves and make a statement regarding background and why they're running on the group mailing list. So that's how you self-nominate. During the nomination period, the chairs will have a conference call during which candidates may make a statement and we can have some interactive Q&A. At the end of that nomination period, if any of the seats only have a single candidate, then they win, right? Let's not have an election if we don't need one. And for any seats where there are multiple nominations, then we have to have an election. And if any seat has zero candidates, then after any election, if there is, the chairs get to treat it as an interim vacancy. So we don't expect that to happen, but they could. So we wanted to have a rule about how we deal with it. If there are multiple candidates, then the chairs will select an appropriate election mechanism after nominations have closed. So personally, I had some pushback on that, but the point is that if you just have two candidates, a different election mechanism may be appropriate than if you have five. There are different game theoretic dynamics and whatnot. So rather than force a particular mechanism, we wanted the chairs to have an option to find a good mechanism based on actually how many people we need to decide between. If the chairs can't figure that out, or if they flake or they fail or they're part of the problem, then a vote for contested seats will be held at the next regular conference via public ballots. And the nominee who receives the most votes shall win. If the votes result in a tie, we'll have a runoff. And if it's still tied, then whoever nominated themselves first wins amongst the tie. So that was my attempt to have a deterministic and yet not too painful mechanism for ties. And then finally in this section, the chairs may choose another election mechanism that offers a good faith equal opportunity for members of the community group to select amongst candidates. as long as that mechanism is started by the announced election date and completed no more than 1 week later. So that's our thoughts on how we might run the election. I would love to hear feedback. Does it sound crazy? Does it sound overcomplicated? Are there ways to simplify it? Is it just awesome? And it looks good. Go ahead, Manny.
It sounds good. I mean, it's obvious the chairs have put a lot of thought into it, and that's great. It sounds good at a high level. I know you're trying to cover a bunch of potential cases, and I think you do that, which is good, which may have resulted in it being just slightly more complicated than what we might need on a fairly regular basis. But that's really the only criticism I have. It feels like it's strikes the right balance among all the possibilities that could come up.
Cool. Thank you. So whether folks want to chime in now or via direct email or commenting in that Google Doc, we are open to suggestions on streamlining it, simplifying it. Some of the principles driving this, I don't know if Kim or Chris want to chime in. You know, we wanted it to be as simple as possible and sort of operate on the, if there are no complications, use the simplest option. And then if there are complications, such as two people wanting to run for the seat, have the most lightweight mechanism we can have without, sort of non-deterministic holes that we might fall into. Before we go on to the next session, Kim or Chris, would you guys like to say anything about this? I know the last couple of bullet points you guys hadn't seen before the call today.
I guess I can just add some commentary on it. So the we're making a trade-off of continuity versus a desire, bring in new blood, but then also kind of let us get off the hook. So the way we were thinking is, I think Christopher is interested in giving up his chair seat the first and, me the second. So that means I would run for the 1 year term, Joe would run for the 2 year term, et cetera. In the third year, that would be wide open. But at the same time, I think that all of us, if people we don't get paid for this. We're doing for continuity, and if people are excited and energized to run the group, I think that we would all be very keen to support that as well. So we're trying to find the right balance to keep the community going, but then also leave the room open for entirely new leadership if that's what's wanted. So that's just my comment on it.
Cool. Thank you, Kim. Chris?
Yeah. I think there were a couple of points. As Kim mentioned, I've kind of been chair the longest by a few weeks. Kim next, and then Joe. And there is interest by others to participate in the leadership. So, I'm still interested and excited, but I think I'm going to, hold my gunpowder and, let someone else run in the next one, such that, I might run again in a year or something of that nature, or, fill a vacancy or something of that nature. Another kind of design principle is that in general, our community runs off of no principled objections. So we really wanted to kind of do that as much as possible. I suspect many elections and things of that nature will not require a vote. And whenever possible, we tried to, have it be, the consensus of the group should lead. Because in many ways, voting just gets tangled. I think there are some details at the end of what happens if there isn't a vote or whatever that we've got to puzzle through. So I think I agree with Manu. There's a little bit at the edge cases there that, we just, you know, want to make simpler, but I can live with it as it is. I think we have something really powerful here. This is not, you know, we have the advantage that community groups can last for a very long time. So that also means that it is our responsibility to be able to support them for a long time. So I think the staggered leadership and the opportunity to bring new people in and all that kind of stuff will allow for, you know, one of our unique advantages, which is the continuity for us to take advantage of it. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Chris. Okay. Before we move on to removing the chair, I just want to give folks a chance to hop on the queue. I mean, so that's how we're approaching the election itself. And I think it speaks for, you know, I think we covered all the weird edge cases, hopefully with a minimum of fuss. Again, we welcome feedback, either directly or in the Google Doc or however you might choose to give it. Okay, not seeing anyone on the queue then, let's go to removing a chair. And what I want, Chris, I'm going to queue you up here because I think in our conversations about it, you identified some of the bad cases. You know, one of the things I want in your mind before we walk through this is what are the situations in which it would be appropriate to remove a chair? The W3C has its own processes for certain types of bad behavior. But sometimes we might need to remove a chair for something other than what the W3C would trigger for bad actors who are acting in violation of the Code of Ethical Practices. I forget what the name of the document is. But we've made a commitment here to participate professionally and treat each other with respect. So there's a whole mechanism and an ombudsman system that the W3C has to deal with that, whether that's, you know, sexual harassment or other kind of just being inappropriate type of behavior. So in terms of removing a chair, we aren't just talking about that. In fact, if the W3C exercises its authority, they will trump whatever is in this document. However, there are times when people are being absolutely polite and professional and ethical, and yet the community group doesn't feel that their guidance is appropriate anymore. In those cases, what are the mechanisms that we might remove someone? And Chris, could you frame sort of how we talked about what are the situations that are most typically problematic?
Yeah, so you know, I've been involved with a lot of, you know, community standard groups going off and on, 30 years? And, I mean, I think the first thing we wanted to do was really try to address the, you know, the 80-20 or the 90-10 rather than, you know, all the weird edge cases. And as Joe said, we feel like the, you know, the W3C standards, you know, address some of those more edge cases. The most common occurrence is, of course, that, you know, someone, you know, is absent or isn't keeping up with the other chairs or is letting the other chairs do all the work. And so there needs to be, you know, some kind of mechanism to kind of give them a warning and a heads up and a seriousness. So I think we've addressed that in here. There can be absolute absence where the person, you know, doesn't reply at all or just, you know, just completely fades. You know, you can't talk with them, you know, reasonably about it because there is no response. That has certainly happened. You know, we certainly, you know, I think we've all experienced, you know, situations where, you know, the leadership can't work together. And it may not have anything to do with anything bad or anything wrong. You know, just styles and communications and things of that nature. So we wanted some way to deal with that. And then finally, I think a principle that I really wanted to be, to have in here that I'm not sure we've quite puzzled up the ideal, but we have, I think, a decent proposal is that, things shouldn't, escalate immediately into, some kind of vote or some kind of public thing, that there is an opportunity, a breather, to be able to communicate and share issues, among the key parties without going to a, an immediate, vote to jerk out type of thing that can be very disruptive to a community. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Chris. So I'm going to walk through these bullet points, and then we can do some quick questions and feedback. This is about the release valve for when things aren't going well. So chairs may be removed from their duties through a no-confidence vote. If a member of the community group wishes to call for recall of a chair for any reason, the member must first privately communicate with the other chairs desire and reason for doing so. Those chairs must give the member an opportunity to discuss their concerns with the goal of resolving them. If after 30 days the member feels their issues are not addressed, then they may escalate to a public call for no confidence. If after 60 days that member has not made that call, then the matter's dropped. So, if someone's frustrated, reach out to the chairs and say, hey, I really think it's not cool. What's going on here? And if there isn't traction 30 days later or the traction is such that the member feels it's appropriate, then raise a flag, but raise it now. Don't let it lollygag. We want that process to be able to move forward instead of being an open call for possible problems. Moving on, a public call for no confidence must be announced to the group email list stating the name of the chair subject to the recall and names and emails of at least three members of the group who are calling for that recall. So a single individual can't do it. You need at least three members. And the announcement to the list needs to come from that individual who triggered that private communication earlier. Then the other two supporting members reply to that email within 48 hours. So we have public confirmation that all three parties, in fact, want to have a no confidence vote. Then the chairs acknowledge the call within 7 days. And within 30 days of that call, the chairs will hold a conference call at which the parties seeking no conference can present their case. And the community group can ask questions. And the individual who's subject to the recall can respond to those issues, right? So they'll be able to make a case. The person can say, hey, that's not quite fair. I'm a good guy, whatever the two cases are. And then in the week following that, members will cast their vote by posting to the email list. I'm open to better suggestions, but this is what I'm proposing. Again, this is very young in terms of even the chairs haven't had a detailed conversation about this. If the yay votes cast that week are more than 2/3 of the total votes, then the chair in question is removed. And then now you have an interim vacancy, and that follows the previous rules that were outlined. Members don't have to vote, and you can abstain publicly if you wish, and those abstentions don't count towards total number of votes when calculating that 2/3 majority. And I don't know, Chris, if you have any thoughts. We didn't talk about the game theory implications of those choices. And then any chair who has been removed may still stand for re-election. It's not a black mark forever. And then finally, that this is a serial process. Only one call for no confidence for one chair may be in process. So you can't trigger a confidence vote against all three chairs at the same time. Pick one, work through that process, and then if you still think it's broken, pick the next one. So those are the bullet points. I think it's very young. I would still appreciate improvements both in language and on sort of the conceptual points. But I see Chris on the queue. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I think one of the Yeah, one of the key things here was we really wanted, you know, this in some ways to resemble, you know, again, the consensus building process that our community has. And, you know, but on the other hand, there can be very, very legitimate reasons why this should happen. Now, to be clear, this is, you know, not intended to replace the professional standards and ethics of the W3C. If there's a complaint there, it needs to be, you know, it needs to be lodged through that. This is for when there are, you know, are parts of the community that are, you know, legitimately and in a principled way going, you know, the leadership is taking this community in a wrong direction, in particular a wrong maybe technical direction or whatever. So, you know, the professional standards and ethics are separate, and you know, we should puzzle that out. But there can be still legitimate reasons why, you know, a chair who is been properly elected, you know, isn't working out, and there needs to be some way of doing it. We want to provide as much escape valves for the community to be able to allow a negotiation and a collaboration to happen, but sometimes even that's going to fail, and that's when we go to the community to reject a chair. Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Chris. Okay, any other questions, feedback, clarification? I know we only have 2 minutes left on the call. So let me encourage both. You can chime in now. You can send us an email. You can make a comment in the Google Doc. Reading some of this, the verbiage still seemed a little awkward in places. So I could see just some editorial fixes on that. But hopefully these basic bullet points in this basic structure we will turn into a charter and put before the group for a formal vote relatively shortly.
Charter first, then we need to actually do the auctions.
That's right. Okay, in a lack of a rush for the queue. Thank you, Manu, for that plus one. Yeah, it, you know, I don't think any of us on this call are here because we love bureaucratic process. Nevertheless, as the group has grown and as our responsibilities have grown, we've tried to stay on top of the process to improve it and iterate it a little bit. So this is some of that work in that direction. And hopefully this will last another 5 years. You know, it's not the kind of thing we want to spend our time on, but if we do it right, it can be a good framework for moving ahead. Okay, again, please share any feedback, email, or on the mailing list. Thank you all for your time and attention today and for your contributions to our work. I think that's
Thank you,
wrap.
Everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye, gang.
Thanks, all.